Because you can handle the truth.
April 16th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. You know, I used to agree with that song, but I've realized that war is good for something. Evidently, it's good for a lot of things. Not in my world, it's not. Let me make that clear. But in a lot of people's worlds, it's really good, just based upon this Syrian false flag and missile attack. Raytheon's up $5 billion. Their stock just went up like crazy. Okay? The people that do the insider trading, the ones that are betting on those stocks, and I say betting because when I went to insurance school, they asked a question. They said, is insurance gambling? And I said, yes, and I missed that question. They said, no, it wasn't gambling. But yes, it is gambling. They lied in that establishment as well. The people that are the ones that are investing in these defense contracting stocks, the military, you know, the high-level ranking bird colonels and the captains and the majors and the generals and so forth. They love war. And I had an intelligence agent tell me not too long ago that, the Americans love war. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as they have money in their bank account, they'll reelect the president. As a matter of fact, the president's rating actually went up after he launched this missile attack into Syria. So what does that say about most Americans? It tells me they don't really give a flying hoot about life itself because they're so disconnected. It's almost like you know, going down to McDonald's and eating a hamburger when, you know, the hamburger that you're eating, the price the cow paid is out of your mind. It's out of sight, out of mind. They really don't care. But before I get into that today, which is going to be the topic of my conversation, and by the way, I'm probably going to need some help with this one today, folks, because I've had a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes over the weekend. I've gotten a lot of reports, conflicting reports, regarding the Syrian attack, and I'm going to share some of that with you, get your insight on it, and kind of try to logically conclude what the heck's really going on, because there's a lot of different facets and a lot of different angles to this. But before I get into that, I have an announcement. I will be off Wednesday. Now, my Wednesday show, I'm either going to do a rebroadcast, or if Tom Lacovara has arrived here in the Valley and gotten semi-settled in, he'll probably sit in for me on the air, which is another story in itself. That issue's having some logistical problems that we're trying to work out in the back scenes, if you will. Now, I will be hosting hour number 3 of Erskine Overnight this weekend. And the guest that I had on a couple of weeks ago, Jim and Joanne Moriarty, will again be my guest and Erskine's guest. And folks, I'll tell you, I have now received, there was a little bit of confusion. Evidently, the CDs that I ordered for Jim and Joanne went to the wrong address. So it took me over a week to get them. But I've gotten them. I've watched the DVD in its entirety. And I have to tell you, folks, it's a mind blower. If you ever have or had any doubts about Al-Qaeda, ISIS, ISIL, you know, and who was or is funding them or training them and giving them their orders, you definitely need to get a copy and watch this DVD. Now, Erskine has been cordial enough to donate 1 hour of his broadcast to the Moriartys and myself in our efforts to educate as many as possible regarding this issue. Because what happened in Libya, folks, is the same game plan primarily that is happening in Syria. And with the same sick book of rules and the same mercenaries hired and trained by the same people, and mainstream news media around the globe is the enemy of all honest, truth-seeking people in their disgusting attempts to hide this atrocity from the world with their lies. Now, I'm going to start this with, and I said, you know, I'm going to share with you a number of stories, a couple of clips, okay? But it seems that anything that comes out that is contrary to what the media and the mainstream narrative wishes to believe, they don't want to hear it. There used to be a time where people would sit down, you know, and debate. They would cross-reference, they would share their ideas, and they would come to an overall consensus of what likely the truth really is. But not anymore. The plan is dictated, the narrative is carried out, and anybody that it opposes or has any rational plan of thought whatsoever is literally cut off, ostracized, and vilified like they're crazy. Case in point, I went into RBN's website over the weekend. Title of the story, Mainstream Media Cuts General General's Mic as He Tells the Truth on the Syrian Gas Attack. Now, an interview between Sky News and one of Britain's former senior military officials on reports of the chemical attack in Syria, it was cut short when Major General Jonathan Shaw started to question the logic behind, oh, how dare you question the logic behind, I mean, this lopsided logic, but don't dare question it, okay? Matter of fact, in the diagnostic psychological book, right, Obsessive Defiance Disorder, you question the government and you better be mentally evaluated here. But you know, getting back to that, he started to question the logic behind the narrative that the Syrian government would intentionally launch an attack on its own people. Now, after serving as the commander of the British Armed Forces in Iraq, Major General Jonathan Shaw has seen a side of the United States war on terror that is hidden from the general public and covered up by the mainstream media. Now, in the interview with Sky News, anchor Samantha Washington asked Shaw about whether Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's denial of responsibility for a reported chemical attack would force the UK to seek approval from Parliament before launching airstrikes targeting the Syrian government. And here was the general's reply, folks, and I think that it was brilliant. He said, you know, quite apart from all that, the part that seems to be missing from this, and this was actually mentioned by the ambassador, is what possible motive might have triggered Syria to launch a chemical attack at this time and in this place. The Syrians are winning. He said, he went on to say, don't take my word for it, take the American military's word for it. Now, the general referenced comments made by the commander of United States Central Command, Joseph Votel, during a hearing with the Senate Armed Services Committee transcript last month, and in an exchange with Republican Senator Lindsey Graham. Votel discussed the current state of the war in Syria. Now, this is a statement by Graham. Well, actually, it's a question. Graham said, is it too strong a statement to say that with Russia and Iran's help, Assad has won the civil war in Syria? Votel replied, I do not think that is too strong a statement. I think they have provided him the wherewithal to be the ascendant at this point. So Graham retorts back. He says, is it still our policy that Assad must go? Votel, I don't know that that's our particular policy at this point. Our focus remains on the defeat of ISIS, which we all know is a lie. But as General Shah noted during his interview with Sky News, even U.S. officials are admitting that the civil war between the Syrian government and the Islamic State has pretty much come to an end. So, with that in mind, why would Assad carry out an attack on his own people, which makes no sense at all, that would result in greater intervention from world superpowers, such as the United States and the UK? He said that Assad has won this war, and we need to face that. This is Shah talking. He's talking to this Samantha What's-Her-Face. And then last week, you've got a tweet by Trump that America is finished with the Islamic State, and we're going to pull out soon, very soon. And then suddenly, out of the blue, you have a gas attack. Now, stick with me here, folks, because I'm going to start tying a few dots together. I'm going to need some help from you guys. But I think maybe we can come to a conclusion here. Maybe. So Washington then jumps in and cut Shah off mid-sentence, insisting that they were out of time after he had only been speaking for less than 1 minute. Now, this interview, folks, serves as a reminder that while the mainstream media conduct interviews with experts and officials to make it look as though it is open to sharing different voices and opinions, Major General Shah appears to have shared the wrong opinion. And the points he was highlighting are ones that clashed directly with narrative Sky News, the narratives that Sky News was selling to its viewers. And this was further evidenced by the fact that the UK later teamed up with the US and France to launch airstrikes targeting the Syrian government that have potential to spark World War III. By the way, I want to interject there. No, it doesn't. You say, what? What'd you say, Michael? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't, and I'll get to that later. But hold that thought, folks. The question over what motive Assad would possibly have to launch a chemical attack on his own people when he knows that reports of chemical attacks in the past, even though they were unverified, have resulted in increased aggression from the United States. It serves as a reminder that nearly every war in the United States history has been started based on lies and propaganda that were used to blind the American people into believing the war was being fought for their freedom. Now, with that, I'm going to ask my navigator, Dan. Dan, play clip number one where Samantha is interviewing the Major General here. It's only about a minute, 20 seconds, folks. So, Dan, go ahead and play that clip.
Do you think anything what we've heard from either Sergei Lavrov or indeed the Russian ambassador has made it more difficult for the UK to launch any kind of attack without putting it to Parliament?
Yeah, you know, I think quite apart from all that, the debate that seems to be missing from this is, and this was actually mentioned by the ambassador, was what possible motive might have triggered Syria to launch a chemical attack at this time in this place. The Syrians are winning. Don't take my word for it. Take the American military's word for it. General Virgil, the head of CENTCOM, he said to Congress the other day, America, Assad has won this war, and we need to face that. So, and then you got last week the statement by Trump, or the tweet by Trump, that America had finished with ISIL and we were going to pull out soon, very soon. And then suddenly you get...
Okay, I'm very sorry. You've been very patient waiting for us, but we do need to leave it there. I'm very sorry. Thank you very much indeed. More to come on Sky News. Do stay tuned.
Can you believe that, folks? This guy's on. This guy's on for less than a minute, and you should see the bedazzled look on this lady's face. You know, she's just beside herself because this guy's actually saying something that she doesn't want to hear, and her network doesn't want to hear. And yeah, Dan writes me and says, "What a crock!" LOL. Yeah, you're right, Dan. It is a crock. Okay, but now that's one of them, folks. So I'm going through, and then you know how when you're on YouTube, right? You're watching a video, and over on the right, there's a whole bunch of it, and you get sucked down the rabbit hole. Well, I don't know about you, but I do. You know, I find myself, you know, I'd be 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. I'm supposed to be out Ubering, and, you know, a listener will send me a video, which, by the way, Carol Asher sent me one last night that completely rocked my world because I had this whole thing set up here, and now I had to go back and watch that video, incorporate it with what I'm reporting today and go, oh, my God, here we go again. Let's connect the dots. And I'm not as eloquent in 4D or 6D or 12D chess as Donald Trump is. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out the game and read the book as we go along. But that said, so I'm going down and I'm scrolling down the side of the YouTube videos, and I ran across this one. It's a Russian report. So, and it was in Russian, right? But they had the translation down, and I thought it was a very, very interesting breakdown from their perspective of what's going on here. Now, and I've also heard these reports that Russian has opened the doors and said, yes, the inspectors can come on in. We invite them to come on in. On the other side, in the British government, they're going, well, the Russian inspectors won't let us come in. And somebody's lying here, folks. But anyway, let me get into this here, okay? Now, the Russian mainstream media, which, by the way, reports a heck of a lot more truth than our mainstream media, which is reporting none, Operation Mockingbird and William Casey 1981, they're not going to be satisfied until everything that the mainstream media says is a lie and all that good stuff. But I've translated this. I took the time to write it down so I could share this with you. The reporter says, it's obvious without an in-depth analysis, this is a Russian reporter here, that the authors of false flag stories are constantly caught red-handed. They are scrutinized frame by frame, but always in vain. Now, why is it always in vain? Because they stick to the story no matter how ludicrous it is. So I interjected that, but let me continue here. Okay. Now it's about the outcome of today's phone conversation between UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson and Acting Secretary of State John Sullivan. The attack carries signs of previous attacks conducted by the Assad regime. Yet, nobody specifies what the previous attacks are, given that the alleged use of toxic gas was never investigated. Instead, this is the Russian point of view, folks. This is, instead, they are demanding with foam at the mouth to hold Damascus responsible for it. And the pattern is common. And besides, speaking about foaming at the mouth, it's one of those symptoms being affected by a chemical weapon. The White Helmets, that, you know, questionable group of liars, claims to have seen it with their own eyes. But traditionally, there are dozens of inconsistencies. Now, Ekaterina Grigorova has found them out. This is the one reporter, is that male reporter is reporting. He then turns to the audience, turns the audience's attention to reporter Ekaterina Grigorova, and he asks her, tell me, did they forget to put their masks on again, their gas masks, folks? She replies that yes. At the beginning, they're wearing no gas masks. They have no protection against chemical weapons at all. And there are many other awkward things. Now, the first was the barrel bomb itself. The video of which was posted by the White Helmets on Twitter, it allegedly pierced concrete reinforcement with the tail unit intact. And the barrel itself remains intact, too. So the question is posed, how did the toxic agents inside it vaporize? And some of the other videos are controversial as well. And by the way, the Moriarty sent me about four of these. And they're, you know, it's ridiculous if you view them. The White Helmets are running, in a possibly contaminated zone without any chemical protection equipment and any gas masks. And besides that, everybody in the shooting area doesn't seem to be aware of what's going on. One guy, for example, obviously knows nothing about an attack from his observing his body language because he's in no hurry to extricate himself from the scene. It's ridiculous. Hear the music coming up. We'll take a break. I'll be back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Stick around. More to come. We're going to break this down like Professor Clouseau.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
All right, folks, we're back with The American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Around in the breeze. They were running around in the breeze of chemical weapons, without any gas mask, without any protective equipment, without any gloves, without any anything. And there is no reliable data is available about toxic agents allegedly used in the attack. And the speculations include chlorine and organophosphorus compounds. And in both cases, wearing no gas mask, outdoors or indoors, it's fatal. An instantly fatal concentration of chlorine is 28/M3, whatever that means. The lethal concentration of GB gas is 0.1 milligram/M3, or 0.07 milligrams of V-gas per 1M3 would cause death as well. Now, what is also awkward about the footage is the way the alleged victims are treated. They're hosed, which, by the way, is useless in a case of a chemical attack. The only thing that can help in a situation like that is a toxicide injection. Now, while helping a victim of a real chemical attack, a specialist must wear a gas mask. They can remove it safely only after decontamination. The most terrible footage was made in the building where the victims of the alleged chemical attack are. The white hats are supposed to be aware of mass casualties, but the rescuers, you know, fortunately wearing gas masks at the time, well, they're wearing no gloves or any other protective equipment. And even chlorine, considered not the most hazardous toxic agent, affects not only respiration organs, but also the eyes and the skin. And as for organophosphoric compounds, even clothes can't protect them. Now, this is from the ICRC. Chemical agents, they fall on the body, they fall on the hair, they fall on the skin, they fall on the clothes. They continue cross-contaminating elsewhere, and it harms the soldiers trying to help those contaminated. It harms the medical staff trying to help the victims. Folks, toxic agents can't just disappear from the environment. I'll give you an example, okay? It takes 3 hours to evaporate from an earth road, you know, just a paved street. It takes 6 hours from, you know, if it's spilled on grass, and it remains in an urban area for about 16 hours. Now, organophosphate chemicals are even more stable than that. For example, the chemical Saman remains lethal for 24 hours, and V-gas will remain hazardous for about 3 weeks. But here, in this case, a toxic agent seemed to be selective. Without harming those who were filming all of it, though they should have been contaminated if it weren't fake in the Halloween performance. But nowadays, it's not very hard or time-consuming to stick or draw any bruises on skin imperfections or alterations. We see these crisis actors doing it all the time. The easiest thing is the foam at the mouth. And that was known even in the days of the Inquisition. But having prepared a shooting area, one can safely come there with a camera. Such a chemical attack won't affect the witnesses. It's called, folks, the art of falsification. And it was done, once again, to justify a Western reaction. And it did just that. So, with that, now I'm going to take a break here in a minute or two. And when we get back from the break, I pulled another clip off RBN's website from Syrian Girl. Now, I'm going to let you listen to Syrian Girl's take on this, because there's a couple of anomalies here. As I said, I've been getting conflicting reports about this, about what happened, who's killed. She's claiming that four children were killed, but they were killed in a tunnel by the Al-Qaeda, if you will. So when we get back from the break, I'm going to play this clip. It's about 7 minutes long. And then I'm going to outline for you what she says, and I'm kind of cross-reference it with the reports I've got coming in. And let me scroll down here for a minute and see. I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to open the phone lines to take your comments. Because, folks, I tell you, you know, as I told you, Carol Asher sent me a video, you know, and I got all these hundreds of emails in there, and I'm clicking on specific ones, Pete in California and Hang Glide Home and Carol Asher and so forth. And she just had this little, you know, this little note of optimism, if you will, you know, at the top of it, saying, all right, if this is true, yay, we're still good, right? Something along those lines. Then I looked at it last night and said, okay, all right, this fits right back into the whole SES thing that I was reporting on. And I didn't have time last night when I looked at it to break it down. So I'm just going to kind of fit snippets of it in there, and then I'm going to get your input on this whole thing. Because it looks like, at least from my perspective, yes, Donald Trump did order a strike, right? Now the question is, who's picking the targets, right? Because according to Syrian Girl, there was only one target struck, Now, according to other reports I get, there was three targets struck. According to other reports I'm getting, it was all fake because the explosions came from the ground, as opposed to missiles being fired. But I did see some pictures of missiles being fired, which could have been pictures of missiles fired years ago. We'll be back after the break. Digest that. Stick around. More to come.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. I forgot my name for a minute. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Okay, so we're going to get into this. Now, I want you to listen really closely because this is Syrian girl. We're going to get her take on it. Now, again, this is her perception, her take. I don't know what reports she's getting or if they're true or not. But let's have a listen, and I'll give you an overview of what I think when we get through with it. Go ahead and play that second clip, Dan.
Hi, everyone. This is Syrian girl. Syria has been attacked by the U.S.-Israeli-French alliance. Missiles struck the T-4 military base, a base that is crucial to the fight against ISIS. This comes right after a false flag chemical attack in the suburb of Douma in Ghouta, Damascus. The neocons are blaming the Syrian government for the chemical attack. But once again, there is no motive because Assad was winning. After 7 years of war, Ghouta is almost completely liberated from Al-Qaeda-linked rebels. Thousands of civilians have evacuated the city. For years, the rebels weren't allowing them to leave because they were using them as human shields. Most rebel groups in Ghouta surrendered, but one rebel group called the Army of Islam, which controls Douma, refused. This is because they believed they had leverage in the form of civilian hostages that they kidnapped from a nearby pro-Assad Alawite town called Adra.
They were taken by Sunni rebels last August.
The Army of Islam, one of the groups the US listed as moderate, kidnapped men, women and children. They put them in cages and paraded them around the city of Douma, saying that if Assad bombs the rebels, the hostages would die. They were literally using them as human shields. A few weeks ago, they released footage of these hostages walking through an underground tunnel in Douma, injured and distressed. Since these civilians were from a pro-Assad Alawite town, the rebels thought that they had more value as human shields than the civilians of Douma. But the war continued, and it looked like the Army of Islam were about to surrender. But suddenly, they stalled negotiations and rained hundreds of missiles down on Damascus city center. You see, some of their members didn't want to surrender. This was when the false flag chemical attack happened. It's obvious the people, the children, that were killed in the gas attack were the hostages that the rebels had kidnapped. Footage of 4 children suffocated in an underground bunker emerged. A wood-burning oven right behind them was producing carbon monoxide. The rebels also released footage of perfectly healthy kids being drugged and hosed down. Some of the hostages have been rescued. Among them is Judy. She was abducted 4 years ago when she was only 8 months old. How many children just like her didn't make it and were gassed by the rebels in a false flag attack? And just look at the timing. A week prior to this attack, Trump said he would pull troops out of Syria. Now he's saying he's going to attack Assad. It's the exact repeat of last year's scenario. The chemical attack that occurred in Idlib on the 4th of April in 2017 occurred almost a year to the day of this attack. And a week prior to that attack, the US said regime change was no longer the objective in Syria. And afterwards, Trump attacked Syria. Also, a day prior to the chemical attack, Israeli President Netanyahu called Trump and told him that he wasn't allowed to pull out of Syria. It's obvious who benefits. It's not the US soldiers that recently died in North Syria. This chemical attack is the excuse that Israel and the neocons need to keep the US troops in Syria indefinitely and have a casus belli for World War III.
All right, well, I guess that's it. Okay, so let's kind of go through this, folks. Syria has been attacked by the US, Israeli, and the French lines, striking a military base.
I was asking you before about potential cooperation between the United States and Syria, but the problem that many would have with that is the continued allegations of human rights abuses by your government. Now, just today, we have a new report from Amnesty International about Sadaya prison, human slaughterhouse, they call it, 5,000 to 13,000 detainees hanged in mass hangings there, horrific conditions, trials of blindfolded prisoners 1 to 3 minutes in length, no lawyers, secret, all in secret. This would on its face be contrary to every aspect of international law. Yeah. What do you know about what's going on in that prison?
Let's first of all talk about the first part of your question, which is the problem how to for the United States to open a relation with Syria regarding the human rights. I would ask you, how could you have this close, very close relation, intimate relation with Saudi Arabia? Do you consider behaving as a human right criteria.
Yes, but I'm not interviewing the King of Saudi Arabia right now. I'm interviewing you.
Yeah,
and
I know,
I'm asking you about reports
of
human rights abuses in your prison in your country.
You own the question, I own the answers. So that's my answer. So when you ask about Saudi Arabia and your relation, you can put yourself in that position. Second, the United States is in no position to talk about human rights. Since Vietnam War, till this moment, they killed millions of civilians. If you don't want to talk about 1.5 million in Iraq without any assignment by the Security Council. So the United States is in no position to say, I don't open a relation because of human rights, and they have to use one standard. This is fine. The second part now.
Yes.
Now I can move to the to the right. That report, like many other reports published by Amnesty International, put into question the credibility of Amnesty International, and we never look at it as unbiased. It's always biased and politicized, and it's shame for such an organization to publish a report without a shred of evidence. They said it's based on interviews. On interviews. What about the document? What about the concrete evidence? Not single
interviews with four former prison officials and guards, three former Syrian judges, three doctors at the prisons.
It means nothing. It's interview. No. When you need to make a report, you need evidence, concrete evidence. You can make any report. You can pay money to anyone, like Qatar did last year. They paid money for such a report, and they brought their own witnesses, and they made a report.
The process. So I want to just read you something from the report. The process of the hangings is authorized by officials at the highest levels of the government. Death sentences are approved by the Grand Mufti of Syria and by either the Minister of Defense or the Chief of Staff of the Army, who are deputized to act on behalf of President Bashar al-Assad.
First of all, what the evidence? So this is first.
Is it true or not?
No, it's not true. Definitely not true.
How do you know? You know what goes on in that prison? Have you been there?
No, I haven't been. I've been in the presidential palace, not in the prison.
So here you have a very disturbing report about something going on in one of your prisons. So, are you going to investigate?
So Amnesty International knows more about Syria than me, according to you. No, that's not true. No. They haven't been to Syria. They only
all right, let's go ahead and cut it, Dan. That was a kind of a surprise because, let's see, it auto-played the next clip while I was speaking with Julie. Yeah, okay, but I thought I'd let that go because that was Bashar al-Assad, and it just amazed me. He's a brilliant man, okay? He's just making mincemeat out of this reporter, and that's the first time I'd heard that, but I thought I'd let it play for a little bit just to give you an overview of the rationale of whom we are supposedly calling our enemy, right? But getting back to this now. Syria has been attacked by the U.S., Israel, and French lines. It's striking, according to Syrian girls, striking a military base, which is crucial to the fight against ISIS. Okay, that's the first report I've heard about a military base. It was the T4 military base, which evidently, according to Syrian girl, was crucial to the fight against ISIS. Now, let me ask you, with a vast array of military targets from which to choose, and I'm sure there are, why do you suppose they would pick that one? Now, these rebel fighters that Assad, along with Putin's help, had succeeded in defeating, had kidnapped men, women, and children, put them in cages, and paraded them around the city of Dama. Okay? Anyway, Dan, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. Actually, it's kind of good. So go ahead. The next clip that plays, go ahead and talk to Julie again. That's all right. No, I'm just kidding you. Anyway, so they paraded them around the city of Duma, telling Assad that if he bombed the rebels, the hostages would die. And they used them as human shields. Now, Putin and Assad battled the army of Islam to the point where they had literally released their hostages and were negotiating surrender. Now, I'm going to translate a quote you heard during that clip. I'm going to translate it in English. And this is the girl, she was being interviewed as she was going through this tunnel as they had let her out of the cage. I'll translate that quote. It was heard from that young lady that was released by the army of Islam as she was speaking in her native language. She said, "We were in Tobe prison when they took us out and put us in Douma, claiming that it would be safer. They told us that it would be fine. There's no way they would airstrike the hostages. Now, folks, they released these hostages as the Army of Islam was negotiating a surrender. And suddenly, they stalled their negotiations and rained a bunch of missiles down on Damascus because many of their members didn't want to surrender. And this, make note, coincidentally was when the false flag chemical attack happened. Mm-hmm, I see. Now, let's think this through for a minute. A convenient and coincidental alleged chemical attack blaming Assad just after the Army of Islam stalled their surrender negotiations, rained missiles down on Damascus, and the United States, along with collusion between France and Israel, picks as their target the very Syrian airbase that was crucial to defeating ISIS, ISIL, Al-Qaeda, and the Army of Islam. Now, my thoughts here in connecting the dots, the orders to the Army of Islam were given by their higher-ups, i.e., likely the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, ISIS, the Israeli Mossad, the banksters. Now, Trump announced that he was going to pull out of Syria. And after a few days later, after a call from Netanyahu, says, you can't do that. You can't pull out. Now, who's calling the shots here, Netanyahu or Trump? Obviously, it's Netanyahu. Trump reversed his position. And then, based upon yet another Assad gassed his own people lie, he retaliates by conveniently and coincidentally striking an airbase that was the most crucial in defeating these forces. Now, we have to remember, if Assad wins, Israel loses. They lose control of the Golan Heights, of which they occupy, and daily steal Syrian oil. I'll give you three guesses, folks, okay? Who gave the order to the Army of Islam not to surrender? Ki Bono, who benefits? And Trump the Basset Hound allowed his Bibi Netanyahu and Beetleboken to wag him again. Now, let's remember, a week prior to April 4th, shifting gears, going back down a trip down memory lane here, a week prior to April 4th, 2017, the alleged Assad gassing his own people, UN Ambassador Nikki Haley announced, the U.S., and I quote, the U.S. priority in Syria no longer focused on getting Assad out, unquote. Remember that? Then, the following week, Assad allegedly gasses his own people. Now, for the life of me, I cannot figure out how anyone with a fifth grade level of education couldn't see who's orchestrating these false flags and who's giving the orders. Let me remind you, by deception we shall make war. Any guesses to who said that, folks? The neocon Zionist Rothschild fingerprints are all over this. And by the way, what on earth is this crap? Hold on a minute. I got to pull this up for you because, you know, we're talking about NATO forces here, right? And all these people are ganging up on Assad and, oh my God, and the gas his own people and blah, blah, blah. And then we've got, just a minute here, pull this up. Then we've got the German stance on Syria. Now get this line. According to Angela Merkel, we're ready to help, but not militarily. Well, if it's not militarily, what kind of help can you give? I mean, you know what they say about opinions? Opinions are like heinies, right? Everybody's got one. So Chancellor Angela Merkel has shed some light on Germany's position as the tensions flare in Syria. She said Germany stood ready to assist its allies, but that Germany's military would not be involved. I see. Okay, so how exactly do you plan on assisting a military operation without military involvement, Angela? She twice She twice stated during a press conference, by the way, Peter in California, thank you for this one. I got a laugh out of this. Angela Merkel twice stated during a press conference on Thursday that Germany's military will not participate in any possible military actions in Syria. But she stressed that Berlin supported the need to send a clear signal that the use of chemical weapons was unacceptable. Okay, Berlin needed to send the signal. Well, if you're not going to participate militarily, and that seems to be the only signal that, according to all the powers that be, the military-industrial complex is the only one that people understand, as we, again, examine and piece together this whole picture, what kind of signal are you sending, Angela? Let's see. So Merkel also criticized Russia, albeit gently, saying that Moscow's blocking – oh, here it is. Yes, folks, here it is. Now, here's what conflicts. Merkel also criticized Russia, albeit gently, saying that Moscow blocking the full OPCW investigation into the alleged Syrian chemical weapons attack does not cast Russia in a positive light. Now, where did she get that news from? Had to be the Brits, because according to the Russians have opened the door and invited the OPCW in there, and it's the Brits who are saying that the Russians are stopping them from sending anybody in there. And the reason is because Britain is behind this. All right, so getting into that, let's see. I'm not going to go into this whole article because I got another one here. Let's see. Give me a second here. Somebody. Oh, sorry about that. Okay. No, I got that one, Dan. All right. I thought maybe there was a call. Got a break coming up. All right. We'll be back in free. And then and when we get back from the break, before we go to the top of the hour, I'm going to tell you what Italy says about this. Be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. And so, yes, Angela Merkel and Germany, they support, but they're not going to interact militarily. But now we have Italy. Italy will not take part in any military action in Syria. Here's a statement. Italy will not have any direct role in the eventual Western military attack against the Syrian government, but it will provide logistical support to its allies, the Prime Minister's office said Thursday. Caretaker Prime Minister Paolo Gentiloni had numerous international contacts Thursday, including with the German Chancellor Angela Merkel, the statement said. Italy will not participate in Syrian military actions, Gentiloni told allies, according to the statement, based on current international and bilateral accords. But Italy will continue to offer logistical support to Allied forces. Logistical support. Okay, so let me ask you, Angela, and what's her name? Paolo, okay? Since when do you think that the United States, France, or Israel gives a hoot and holler about what you have to say about logistical support? I mean, put that in your pipe and smoke it. What they're really saying is, I smell a rat here, okay? We're not going to involve ourselves in this because it may come back to haunt us and we may have egg all over our face. So we're going to take a step back and just watch you fools let this scenario play out. That's what they're really saying here, folks. So with that, let me get back to this here. Going up to the top of the hour break. And then we've got Nikki Haley. Oh, don't we just love her? Out of Reuters in Washington, the U.S. ambassador to the United States, Nikki Haley, said on Sunday that the United States would not pull its troops out of Syria until its goals were accomplished. Now, this flies in the face of what Donald Trump said a couple of weeks ago, and then Benjamin Netanyahu called Donald Trump. I mean, this is like the Keystone Cops here. Benjamin Netanyahu, the tail wagging the basset hound here, tells him you're not allowed to pull out, okay? You're not allowed to pull out, Donald. So Donald's like, oh, okay, I better not pull out. We better go back, keep them there, all right? And then we have the missile attack. So the United States ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, speaks out during the emergency United Nations Security Council meeting on Syria at the UN headquarters in New York on April 14th. And speaking on Fox News Sunday, Haley listed three aims for the United States. Oh, these ought to be good, okay? Ensuring, number one, that chemical weapons are not used in any way that pose a risk to U.S. interest. I see. You see, folks, this is Nick out of Nikki Haley's mouth. Ensuring that the chemical weapons are not used in any way to pose a risk to U.S. interests. Oh, I see. So you're telling me that the only concern they have about the chemical weapons is not being used against U.S. interests, so they really don't care about the kids that allegedly were killed. Right? Which is the reason that Trump launched the missiles in there to begin with. I see. all right. But continuing on here. That's number one. Number two, that the Islamic State is defeated and that there is a vantage point towards what Iran is doing. Okay, you want to occupy the territory from a good vantage point with your binoculars to see what Iran's doing, which basically is nothing. That's okay, we've got a top of the hour break. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Jump into the mix, if you will. It's an open line for the rest of the show. Be right back.
I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
What it is you think I should.
are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN.